All right, good to see everyone out again this evening, especially our visitors this evening. Good to have Ronnie and Sarah with us, and Lucas. Tonight we're going to talk about a topic that, in my estimation, my opinion, we can't talk about it enough. And it could be preached a lot of different ways. And for those of us that have been Christians for quite a while, we probably need to hear this a little bit more often than most. It's about gratefulness, or the attitude of gratitude, if you will. Our culture doesn't exactly do a really good job of teaching us how to be grateful. In fact, our culture teaches us that the key to happiness is to keep striving to pursue things and to never be content and to never settle. That attitude is one that in other areas of life I think is not necessarily a bad thing. One of the things I'm personally striving for, which this is just me personally, is always striving for a better relationship with my wife. To never be content with where we are, to always try to make it better. In that sense, that's not a bad quality to have. Also, not to be content with our relationship with God. That is definitely something that is worth pursuing, and pursuing a stronger relationship with God. But when you take it in the sense of materialistic and worldly possessions that the world teaches us not to be content, that's a bad thing. Because we all have busy lives. We all have crazy schedules to a certain extent. If we're not busy with work, with some of us, children, grandchildren, for the kids, they're busy with school. You have after school activities. You have summer activities. You have errands to run. You have all these things in your life, and you're just busy, busy, busy. But how many times do you ever actually just stop and thank God that you even have the ability to do all that running and to do all of those things? You know, we just take it for granted that we've got 2 feet that carry us around all the time, and vehicles and things that allow us to do some of that running. And the other thing, most importantly, we can't forget, is not only to thank God for those, but we need to be thankful that we serve a righteous, just, and loving God. Because without God, are we who we are without a God, or without God? We're not. It's only because of God that we are able to be called His children, and we get to be able to walk in this relationship with Him, because He is our God. At the kids, you know, the kids are kind of at that age where we're sitting at the dinner table, and before we eat, we ask them to pray. And I constantly get caught in this mindset of wanting, as the head of the household, the spiritual head of the household, wanting to instruct them how to pray for the right things. But I also have to balance that out with their innocence a little bit, because it's funny to hear some of the stuff that they pray for, you know. They pray for, like, they're thankful for the grass, you know, or they're thankful for the dirt, the ground that we walk on, or they're thankful for, like, their pillow and their blanket, or their stuffed animal that they get to sleep with, you know. But it's funny, because as adults, we laugh and kind of get a little bit of a kick out of that. But what you realize is that they've got it right. You know, they're appreciating things that sometimes that go unnoticed in our lives, because we just don't notice it. You know, because we're too busy to just think about the little things. Because we've been bombarded in this society into thinking that there are certain things that we need, and we forget what we already currently have. Tonight I want us to look at Psalm 100. And the highlighted parts are for a little bit later in the lesson. Psalm 100. It's only a 5-verse psalm. It's so simple, yet there is a lot in here that we can put into practice in our lives in order to make ourselves more grateful for what God has done for us. It says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. And we have, sometimes in our lives, we do have so much. And we are blessed so immensely without even realizing it. But I challenge you this week. Most people are phone driven nowadays. You know, most people are. You know, if you have a phone, in the busyness of life, set an alarm on your phone. Whatever time. Maybe you know what time you've got a break at work. I know what time I get a break at work. Usually, as long as nothing like shooting 10 feet out of the ground. Like a water leak or something. Set an alarm on your phone. And just take time out and reflect upon all the good things that God has given you in your life. And thank Him for that. Thank Him for what you have. Instead of focusing maybe upon something that you want God to give you more of. Now, that's a lesson for me, because if you know me, I'm always praying for more patience. Maybe I need to be thankful for what little bit of patience I do have and realize that I have what little bit I do have comes from God and be thankful for that. And I might find that the rest of it might come along a little bit more naturally, you know, because it starts with that grateful attitude that we're speaking about tonight. And it's easy to look in the world today and see all the terrible events that are going on, the tragedies that happen, and you look at the world and you say, oh, how can I be grateful considering what the state of the world is right now? And the response to that is, for me personally, is you do see lots of tragedies happen, whether it's a mass shooting, whether it's a natural disaster. The most recent one that's sticking out in my mind right now is the mudslide out in California, you know, that's claimed the lives of a few people. But out of all of those bad events, what follows after that bad event happens is something to be grateful and thankful for, and that is mankind's response to a tragedy. Whether it results in, the big thing nowadays is GoFundMe. You know, it's a page you set up, you say what your cause is, and people give money to your cause. And the response to that comes out of tragedies. When hurricanes, natural disasters strike, the fact that the churches, even, you know, all the churches, denominations and churches of Christ, everybody alike, the response that there is to bring those people out of their misery and to bring good back into those people's lives and to bring a ray of sunshine into their life, be grateful for that. Once again, it's a mindset. Don't focus on how bad the tragedies are. Thank God that His light is shining through other people. There was something I read the other day, and it's something that I'm really trying to think hard about in my life. And it's a quote that says, "Not every day is a good day, but there is something good in every day." And I'm going to look for something like that to put on my desk at work, because I need to be reminded of that. I always am striving to think now of that even on my worst days, no matter how bad things get, I've still got God. And that's one of the takeaways that I get here out of Psalm chapter 100. God also says, and here's a good example too. God says in Deuteronomy 6 verses 10 through 12. It's up on the screen. I'll read it. Follow along with me. It says, "Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which He swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied. Then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery." God tells the Israelites here, He says, when you've entered that land and the wars are all over with and the suffering is all over with and you're sitting back and you're kicked back in your home and you're in peace and you're eating the fruit of these trees, and you're in this land of milk and honey and all the blessings that are flowing from it, you don't forget that it was I, talking about God, I that gave that to you. And this needs to be our song too, let's face it, as New Testament Christians. Because it's only by God's grace that they got that land. It's only by God's grace that we have salvation and mercy and forgiveness and compassion and all of those wonderful qualities of God that we are blessed because He pours them out upon us. We didn't earn any of those things. Be grateful for those things that He's given to us. And that should, and that alone should inspire us with an attitude of gratitude. I want to run back there to Psalm chapter 100. This is addressed to all humanity. It says, shout joyfully to the Lord. You know there's only three countries in the world that celebrate Thanksgiving? Only three countries. This is your trivia for the night, okay? One of them's the United States. The other one's the Philippines. It's not hard to imagine them celebrating Thanksgiving because it was a U.S. territory. The other one's Canada. And if you don't know when Thanksgiving Day in Canada is, it's our Columbus Day. I know because it's national holiday in Canada. Hockey is the sport in Canada. There's a lot of daytime hockey on Columbus Day because it's their Thanksgiving. Kind of like we've got football on our Thanksgiving here. So just a little bit different sport and different culture there. But wouldn't it be great if everybody in the world had a day that they set aside where they just stopped and thanked God for everything that He's done and for everything that He's created? Because the one thing we got to keep in mind is this world and everything in it belongs to God. Excuse me. But in our society, it seems to be that there's kind of a bad stigma. You kind of get a bad... People look at you, differently if you do give thanks. And what I mean by that is because is when you give thanks to anybody else for what you have, it kind of implies that you didn't have anything to do with it. And that's not what our culture teaches us to do. Our culture teaches us to be thankful and to take credit for everything that we have earned or everything that we have. Okay? And to a certain extent in this country, we're raised to believe that we have rights. Like we have a right to live in a nice home, or we have a right to have one or two vehicles, or we have a right to a television or anything else that you want to think of, a right to freedom. We think that those are our rights, but we don't have a right to any of those things if not for the fact that God is the one that granted it to us. And people in our country will be wise to remember that when they're out there exercising their rights, what they think is worthy of protest, what they think is worthy of the government's attention. Not a sermon about politics. It's just perspective. Thank God for our right to be in this assembly today without fear of outside interference. And thank God for this place that we have to come together to assemble, this building that's got the heat on. But our text says there, it says, shout to the Lord. That word shout there, when you shout, it's like a trumpet. When they sounded the trumpets in the walls, I mean, you imagine the trumpets sounding in chorus, how loud that would be, and the shout that's supposed to be coming from the very depths of our soul, because we are so thankful for everything that God has done for us. I had trouble fitting this in, this next statement here, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. So it's kind of off topic a little bit, but I'm going to say it here. As Christians, I think we have this outlook. Now, I'm not saying this outlook is incorrect. Once again, this is just challenging you to think of something a different way. Okay? As Christians, we often think of ourselves as sinners that are trying to be better. Rather, think of it this way. Think of yourself as we are saved people that are in the kingdom of God. We're saved. Yes, we commit sin, but once again, thank God that Jesus' blood cleanses us of that sin, and thank God that we are going to heaven as the saved people in the kingdom of God. And maybe when things, we don't always have rosy times in our lives all the time. Not up here to say that life is not difficult. We know life is difficult. There are times when it's very trying, and you rely on God a lot to get you through those times. But always remember this. Even in your worst time, it could always be worse. You know how? You could not have God at all in your life. I want to repeat that. Your life could always be worse. and your life would be worse if you didn't have God in it. I would rather struggle in my life and have God than to be okay in life and never have to worry about money or anything at all and not have God. I would much rather struggle and have God. And there's something in this psalmist's heart here when he writes this that makes him so grateful, to inspire him to write these words. We don't know what that is. Maybe it was a prayer that he had answered. Maybe he was delivered from a bad situation that he had no control over whatsoever. Or maybe he just asked God for help in general. But irregardless, we too need to shout to the Lord for what He is, who He is, and what He has done for us. It's easy to thank God when He answers a prayer the way that we want Him to. Real easy. It's even more difficult to give Him praise and thanksgiving when maybe He turns us down on something that we want. The most easiest thing I can think of, practical thing, is, Lord, I really would like to have this job opportunity that has presented itself. And it doesn't work out. You know? I prayed very, very hard to get a teaching job at Marshall, Illinois that I was one of the final five candidates for. It was everything I was looking for. It was U.S. history, it was civics, it was world history, and it was coaching golf. And it was coaching middle school basketball. I wasn't very much on coaching basketball. I thought I could do it. Middle school was a good place to start. No, there's not a lot of pressure in middle school. Not like in varsity high school basketball. Everything that I wanted didn't work out. A year later, a job with the city landed in my lap. And now you think about everything that's happened after that, okay? I'm in Carmi. I get the job with the city. I have my first house. I meet my wife. She comes and moves in. We have a child. We have another child. We move. We start coming here. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. Okay? Wouldn't be standing right here today if I got a job up here at Marshall, Illinois. And that's just the way I have to look. I was disappointed at the time. I'm not saying that I'm disappointed in how anything worked out. All I'm saying is perspective. Be grateful, because I wouldn't be able to be here serving in the capacity I am that God has called me to do. Which is a point we're going to make here in a minute too, about being chosen to serve God. Because we need to serve Him with gladness, and that's why I've got verse 2 highlighted there. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Because there's a lot of Christians out there that maybe serve for the wrong reason. They serve out of obligation, or they serve out of duty. But that's not what God desires. He desires for us to do it lovingly and willfully and to bring glory and honor to Him. A gladness, this is the gladness that comes from the understanding of what I was just talking about, that God has chosen you. God's chosen you. He's chosen me. He has chosen each of us to serve Him. The fact that He could have chosen any other individual on the face of this earth to carry out His will, to be called to be a Christian, and to be called into this marvelous light, to walk in a relationship with God by faith in Jesus Christ. If that doesn't move us to serve with love and compassion and willfully do it, there's not really much more, there's nothing more powerful than that in and of itself. The fact that God chose you. He chooses to pour out His mercy on a particular group of people, and that group of people is us. And that's why we come to a worship service, because one of the most beautiful sounds, and this, I think, one of the most beautiful sounds that you'll ever hear, ever, is a group of people that are pouring out their hearts in song and praise and thanksgiving to God for everything that He's done for us. And one of the reasons why it's such a beautiful sound is because it's the same sound that's going to be going on in heaven when we all get there. And I don't know what it is about Sunday nights. I'm sad that more of our brethren are not here. I am, don't get me wrong. So I don't want you to take this next, what I say next, out of context, okay? I want as many people here on Sunday nights as I can. We all do. But there's something about Sunday nights for me that it's just a little different. It's a little more intimate, I think. And when we come in here, I see, you see smiling faces of everything that God has done for us. And that's the attitude that we need to have when we come here. If the attitude of coming to the worship service is one out of gratefulness, we can't help but smile and be happy. Because I've been in assemblies before where there just seems to be nothing but sadness and frowny faces. And they seem like they are there because of out of obligation and not to be there to be grateful to God. I don't know how anybody can sit in a worship assembly and be sad and unhappy when you think about everything that God has done for you. Now, that might be a strong statement, but I believe it's the truth. Okay? And finally, the last point we're going to make this evening, that last part there that's highlighted in verse 4, says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. You've been to a wedding before, right? Been to a wedding before, and you walk in and you're an usher. Ronnie, were you an usher at a wedding one time? Am I dreaming that? That's right. Ronnie was the usher at my sister's wedding. Okay. So you go in, you tell them which side. Anymore, they don't even ask you what side you want to sit on anymore. Seems like everybody's just kind of together. Which I like that principle, the idea of two becoming one. You may as well mingle with each other's acquaintances, because, I mean, it is what's happening. Let's face it. But here's the thing. They walk in and they seat you, and gratitude is our usher to the throne of God. If gratitude was a person, you'd walk up to him, I want a seat in the front row because I want to be there right at the foot of the throne of God to be there and to thank him for everything that he's done for me. We are his sheep in his pasture. That kind of goes along there, the previous verse, right there at the end of verse 3, where it says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We are the followers. We're not the shepherds here. In fact, what you notice is when our relationship with God kind of gets a little out of whack and gets a little out of balance, it's because we think we're the shepherds. We've taken over the role of thinking what we know is best. And we don't know anything, to put it bluntly. We don't have a clue what's best for us. Only Jesus knows what's best for us. We have to go back to that mindset of being sheep, because only Jesus knows where the water is. Only Jesus knows where the greenest pastures are. Only Jesus knows where the safety is at. And he's the only one that knows where he's taking us. We don't know the way. We really don't know the way to heaven, if you think about it. We don't. It's only by following after him that he is leading us to where we want to get to. That way's open, obviously. But have the mindset of sheep that we're going to follow Jesus no matter where he takes us, because he only has our best interest at heart. That kind of goes back to what we talked about a little bit this morning. Be willing to trust him at all times, and remember that every blessing that he gives us only serves as evidence that he loves us, and it should serve as a strengthening object. It should strengthen our faith in him. And his mercy and his love never stops, and that is such an awesome thing to think about. God's truth never changes in an ever-changing world. But there is one concern that I have within myself. I worry at times that we start thinking too much about what we want God to do for us versus being thankful for what he's already done. Kind of goes back to the very first thing we talked about. And then I think about, what if God treated us how we treat him sometimes? Remember this morning we talked about bargaining with God? God, if you'll just heal me of this, I'll go to church every Sunday. If you just give me this blessing, I'll be devoted to you forever. What if God made his relationship conditional with us? We wouldn't be in a very good place. In fact, we'd all be lost forever, because we can never measure up to what God is or what Jesus is. What if God stopped caring, loving and caring for us because we stopped loving and caring about each other? Well, we have to thank God that he doesn't do that. He loves us anyway. He gives us new direction at times. He disciplines us whenever we're wrong. And he continues to lead us as long as we hang on to him and don't let go. And that's 2 weeks ago's lesson. Keep hanging on to Jesus. Keep hanging on to your faith, because this world is becoming increasingly materialistic. Always has been a materialistic world, really, when you think about it. And it seems that it's only getting worse. There's always people and companies out there that are trying to convince us that we need the latest product because we can't live without it. You know, we need that brand new car. We need that brand new cell phone. We need, name it, whatever you want to name it, okay? But the reality is, and final point, the reality is all we need is God. Nothing more, nothing less. The rest of it is just icing on the cake. So in your prayers tonight, I encourage you to be thankful to God for all the blessings in your life. I certainly am thankful every time I step behind this pulpit that I have the opportunity to serve our Lord and to encourage each and every one of you. And it's encouraging to me to see you all looking up here at me, and I can see in your faces the desire that you have to glean something out of what is said out of the pulpit. But remember, it doesn't come from me. It comes from God. It all comes from God and His Word. I'm just a mouthpiece. That's all any of us are. We're just God's mouthpiece. Not just me sitting up here in a pulpit, but whenever you go out into the world and you talk to people about Jesus, you are God's messengers. Be thankful, once again, that you are God's messengers and you can bring somebody to salvation simply just by talking about Jesus. So we'll close out tonight with the invitation as we always do. I believe everybody in here has been baptized for the remission of sins and you have a relationship with God. Once again, if that relationship isn't where you want it to be, we can help you along in that by praying for you. If you've kind of lost your sight of the important things in this life, maybe you haven't been as grateful as you know in your heart you should be lately. We could pray for you for that. If nothing more, maybe tonight some words inspired you to be more grateful and now go out and carry that out. But whatever your need is, you can make it known as we stand and sing our invitation song that Jim will lead us in, number 705.